to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Yes, thank you very much, Johnny Bowden. Good morning, everyone. It is Tuesday, the 2nd of March. We're another day closer to the start of the footy season and the pre-season competitions in both the AFL and the NRL. The AFLW is humming along beautifully at the moment with the Magpies sitting on top of the ladder there. And the good news continues at Collingwood to start the week with Jordan DeGoey and Jeremy Howe both putting their name forward to tackle the Tigers this Friday night in their pre-season opener. And the news is just as good for RSN's own Taylor Adams, who was running around yesterday. He's confirmed and he's hoping like hell he'll be taking his spot against the Bulldogs in round one.
Given where the hammy is, where the strain is, this was planned from day one. So hopefully today I get the green light to join the main group and you'll see me out training tomorrow.
And he's on track for a start in the first game on March the 19th against the Bulldogs. Yesterday, when we were talking cricket, we were talking centuries at Victoria with Peter Hanscom. Today, we're talking record-breaking runs in Queensland as Beth Mooney made the Allan Border Field her very own yesterday.
Mooney just slashes that one through the covers, and that brings up a sensational century. It's another Mooney masterpiece at Allan Border Field.
That's right, it was a Mooney masterclass. A massive 163 of 139 balls. The highest score by a Queenslander in the WNCL, helping them claim a comfortable victory over Western Australia. We'll tell you more about that in a moment. Plus, we've got more cricket on the way this morning with the Aussies over in New Zealand. And also in New Zealand are the Australian Diamonds. They start their Constellation Cup campaign today. We'll hear from Paige Hadley in a moment. Plus, there's plenty more footy to discuss, all in the run to 6 o'clock.
You're listening to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
It is 24 minutes away from 6 o'clock. Daniel Harford, Adam White, and on the way today, Jimmy Bartel with their best Tuesday show for the week. Before Jimmy does jump into the studio at 7 o'clock, there might be a world-famous quiz returning this morning, but I'll let Daniel tell you more about that after 6 o'clock when he jumps into the hosting chair. Also joining the boys this morning will be Shane Van Gisbergen after a successful first weekend of the supercar season over at Bathurst. He started the season with a double on Saturday and on Sunday. And while it wasn't quite the Bathurst 1000, it was certainly great to see the supercars driving around Mount Panorama again, and maybe a changing of the guard without our very own Scotty McLaughlin defending his title for a fourth time. And we'll ask Shane Van Gisbergen whether he's ready to take the mantle as the new front runner and the one to beat in 2021 in the supercars. Yesterday, we plucked one from the sky. We took the early mail to New South Wales, and our man Joey Cleary got the job done. Well, today we're back home. We're racing at Bendigo, and Sammy Friedman will try and back up yesterday's result with another winner. Jimmy Bartel jumps into the studio after 7 o'clock as the third wheel. We'll talk all things footy with the great man, and then we'll head over to Puerto Rico where Cam Percy finished 7th yesterday afternoon. He did go into the final round one shot behind the leader. His final round of one under wasn't enough to see him finish in the top three or four. He's finished tied for 7th with Brandon Grace taking out the trophy. We just mentioned Beth Mooney's fantastic innings yesterday for Queensland. Well, on Sunday, it was Elise Villani for the Victorian women's cricket side. Her most recent scoring, 135 not out, 81, 11 and 61. No player has scored more runs after the first five matches in the WNCL than her in the history of the competition. She currently has scored 420 at 140. She's absolutely shooting the lights out for Victoria, and hopefully she can get herself back into the Australian side. We'll chat to her before 8 o'clock, and then after 8 o'clock, we're heading up to Queensland. The Brisbane Lions are building up to take on the Gold Coast Suns this weekend after playing them last weekend. Back-to-back practice games against the Suns. Jared Lyons is going to join the boys. He's played every game for the Brisbane Lions since crossing from the Gold Coast Suns. He'll join us before we round out the show at 8:30, hand it over to Michael Falgate and then to Gareth Hall. But before all of that, we've got plenty of footy news to wrap up and plenty of sports news to get through in the next 20 minutes or so. I mentioned at the top that Taylor Adams is on track to return for the Collingwood Footy Club in round one. Before that, though, we've got Jeremy Howe putting his name up. He's played the last couple of scratch matches for the Magpies. He's looking forward to taking on the Western Bulldogs this Friday night. He caught up with Channel 7 and Channel 9 yesterday to discuss that horrific knee injury last year and his road to recovery since then.
I guess I hadn't really been exposed to a long-term injury before, and I think training away kind of on your own for a long period of time can get frustrating. So I thought I was close, and then all of a sudden, like, you don't quite get back into the group, and then so there's a little bit of that. It's not something that, you know, I'll really look forward to looking at, and I don't think I will. It's probably quite a traumatic experience, to be honest. Like, it bloody hurt, and then I don't really want to look at it, given that hopefully it doesn't happen again. I'm about 95% of the way there now. It's just that last little bit. We've got Richmond this Friday, and we'll assess if I play that. I've still got two and a half weeks until we start, so I should be fine. The strength in my knee and the stability came back really quick. It was probably more the hammy, where they take the graft for any form of like ACL or major knee injuries, and just trying to get that strength back really took some time. I jump off my other leg, so that's fine. Like, all the stability stuff, which is probably, you know, lucky in the end that it is my other leg, but it's the one that I kind of protect myself with. So I haven't done it for a long period of time. I haven't jumped up on people. So, you know, the hanger bag will be coming out. One of the coaches, unfortunately, will be underneath it. But that's another thing that I've got to tick off and be confident with before I play.
I'm sure all Collingwood fans can't wait to see Jeremy Howe back out there and sitting on opposition players' heads throughout this season and beyond. The Collingwood Footy Club take on the Richmond Tigers on Friday night in their pre-season games. We'll give you the rest of the games in a moment. It's been a tough opening couple of months for the Magpies in 2021 and a tough back end to last year with the way they finished out the trade period. Of course, at the start of this year, the Do Better report was released and Eddie Maguire fell on his sword and stood down from the presidency effective immediately. One player who's stepped up in more recent times has been Darcy Moore, not only on the field in the Collingwood backline, but across this Do Better report to be better and be a stronger leader at the footy club. He was inducted into the Collingwood leadership group last week, and one other fella is Jeremy Howe in that leadership group. He was asked about Darcy Moore and the way he's become a leader, not only to the back six, but to the footy club itself.
Darcy himself, his growth has been exceptional, like not only on field, but he's got a real presence off the field. You know, the way that he gets around his teammates and educates the guys around him is really profound.
Looking to the Western Bulldogs now and to footy overall, we know in last year, of course, what happened with the hubs and everything going on with the world at the moment, that they were forced up to Queensland for a majority of the year to continue on the footballing season. Well, Luke Beveridge has spoken to the Western Bulldogs website. Sit-down interview with Bob Murphy. Catch the full thing there if you want to see it, if you're a Doggies fan. But he was asked about just the pressures and what it's going to be like if they're forced into another hub situation this year.
If it were to happen again, a lot more people would probably start to walk away and branch off, because there's, as much as we're passionate about this and you know, it is our livelihood as well, family, friends and how long you got on this earth is important too. Yeah. It might break the camel's back if we had to go through it again.
Might break the camel's back. Maybe less people will be fully invested and enthusiastic about jumping into a hub if the AFL's forced into doing so. Again, we've seen already with the AFLW that there have been fixture changes throughout the first five rounds, and already we've seen the pre-season competition for the AFL change twice. And also potentially, not confirmation itself, but to consider maybe that only round one in the AFL season so far is going to be locked in and the rest could just float. And we already saw last night on Channel 7 News, Essendon have officially gone to the AFL and requested a venue change for round one against the Hawks from Marvel Stadium to the MCG. So that's pending. There may well be a doubleheader at the MCG in round one on March the 20th. Sticking with the Western Bulldogs for the moment, Luke Beveridge has warned his superstar midfielders that they'll be in danger of losing their spots if they can't play multiple positions this season. Of course, they've got the challenge of trying to fit in Adam Treloar, Josh Dunkley, Marcus Bontempelli, Jackson McRae, Bailey Smith, Tom Liberatore and Lockie Hunter into their engine room. They've also got the up-and-comers Lathan Vandermeer, Lockie McNeil and Anthony Scott. So it's going to be a strong unit at the Western Bulldogs. And, of course, Jamara Ugle-Hagen, who we can't wait to see. Hopefully he's out there next Monday when the Western Bulldogs take on the Melbourne Footy Club at Marvel Stadium. The youngster, the coveted number one draft pick, played against the Hawks last week in the scratch match, his first outing. So we're looking forward to seeing him and seeing all the youngsters go about their business. Over at Richmond, they've got a stack of them as well, trying to break into a premiership defence. Back-to-back flags, they're going to unfurl those against Carlton in round one. Damien Hardwick was asked about all these youngsters yesterday, how they're progressing, starting off with Hugo Ralph-Smith.
Yeah, he moves really well. He's athletically gifted. He kicks the ball well. He's a good mark for his size. And his contested work is really improving. You know, once again, we drafted these players, 9-12 months ago, and they didn't get to play a lot of footy. They did some scrimmages throughout the course of the year. But, you know, he got a lot of insight into how we play and how we operate. That was the one benefit of having the guys in the hub. They were around us 24-7, so they could do a lot of extra work and go with that. So he's been one guy that's, you know, we put a lot of work in to see where he goes. So he'll do some work through the halfback line. You know, he's a running carry player, probably similar to Basher. Basher's obviously at a very, very elite level. If he can get to that, it's great. You know, Riley Collier-Dawkins is a player that we're very, very bullish on. He's a player that, you know, came in, we knew he was going to take some time, but he's just started to figure it out, which is really important. You know, he's gone from, I think it's 93 or 95 kilos. He's down to 88 now. So his body's starting to mature. So he started to burn a little bit of that. I don't want to say puppy fat, but he started to burn a little bit of that. So he looks, you know, a lot more athletic and a lot more dynamic. So he's been really impressive. And there's another boy called Biggie Nguyen. He's incredibly athletic. You know, once again, he's very dynamic in his movements. He reads the play well, and he's got, you know, we think he's got some upside. But we're very fortunate, you know, Matty Clark and Blair Hartley have done a pair of work about identifying what we think are Richmond players, and these guys, you know, fit that mould. There's a lot of players I could name that I'm very, very, you know, excited about the prospect of them playing some footy for us this year.
Damien Hardwick, the coach of the Richmond Footy Club, they're talking about the youngsters at the Tigers. We heard Jack Riewoldt on The Breakfast Club last week talk about those same players with the same excitement. We might see some of them on Friday night when Richmond take on the Collingwood Footy Club at Marvel Stadium. We'll get back to the footy before we finish up this morning. We're going to head over to New Zealand now and talk a little bit of cricket. Confirmation that the remainder of the T20 series, Australia and New Zealand, will be played behind closed doors in Wellington due to the COVID-19 outbreak in Auckland. They confirmed New Zealand cricket. This is shifting the final match of the series, scheduled for Sunday afternoon from Tauranga to Wellington's Sky Stadium. They've already moved game four to Wellington from Auckland. So March 3, March 5, March 7, the final three games of the series, where New Zealand lead 2-0 against Australia, will all be played at Sky Stadium in Wellington. Yesterday, Ashton Agar was asked what they've done since their loss in the second T20. They went down by 4 runs, and he said they've just had a little bit of time to themselves to mentally freshen up ahead of Game 3.
It was an odd week. Obviously, some news coming in thick and fast, but we had a couple of days off, so that was beautiful. The boys enjoyed some golf, just spending some time together doing some normal things. I think that's really important, you know, when you spend a lot in bubbles, hubs, quarantine, all of this stuff throughout a big year, finding those little schedule is really...
Couple of days off for Ashton Agar and the Australian cricket team in the lead-in to Game 3. He was asked, though, if he's had some concerns and if they've had discussions about what happens if somehow New Zealand go into a complete lockdown or Australia decide to block the borders for New Zealand, getting the team stuck over in New Zealand.
The right decision has been made. I think, you know, assessing the situation with what happened in Auckland, you know, they've made sure that they've looked after the players, you know, mental and physical well-being, and come to the right decision. So it's so quickly and with that, and I think, you know, really cool stadium is a good result.
Do you and the playing group about sure you might get stuck in quarantine on the way?
Quarantines are tough. We wouldn't, you know, it's not the ideal situation doing quarantine. I like the thought of quarantine, but I think we have the faith in Cricket Australia, and you have the players, you know, physical and in their best interest. So, you know, if it happens, I'm sure the right decision will be. Yeah, and that's how it's been the whole summer.
Have you guys been briefed at all on what would be for you guys at the end of the
tour? Yeah, we've had a briefing. Management has kept us up to date throughout the whole tour, obviously smoothly, and then, you know, the situation can develop up to this point, being made, you know, to change those to Wellington. And at this point, that's where we're at. We have to look forward, you know, to the games coming up, and that's all we can do.
And are you the sort of a process you have to go through to mentally and emotionally prepare for that 2 weeks in a hotel back home?
Yeah, you always have to prepare. You know, that thought is easy. There's a lot of guys that have done, you know, probably up to six weeks isolation, quarantine, maybe even more than they've probably got more coming up in a cricket. And with this situation, there just seems a lot of that happening. So, yeah, but we have good support around us. You know, we've got urologists on tour, resources to help us in that mental, you know, in that mental health space, and others backs as well as a playing group.
Ashton Agar, they're not overly concerned that he'll be locked out of Australia. They have had discussions and contingency plans will be put in place should it come to that, of course, discussing that cricketers are very used to travelling around the world, to sitting in hotels and to doing extended periods of quarantine. Not sure how that feels on the body, though. There is one thing he does have his eye on, in that includes travelling around the world. It's getting back to the national side in terms of playing test match cricket, and he was asked about that with potential upcoming tours for the Aussies.
Yeah, I think I'm a much better bowler than I was 3 years ago, and that's really exciting. I've got a lot of faith in my ability now. You know, I'm a lot more experienced, and I think I understand, you know, the nature of the game a lot better. So my skill set has certainly developed. It's been helped a lot through white ball and really high pressure situation crowds. And you have a short amount of time to try and perform, you know, to get that opportunity. Who knows what's going to happen, but it's, I'd like to think that it might be a chance. Yeah, subcontinent tour is coming up. It's pretty exciting. Oh, I've been loving it. I love subcontinent. Like, that is the greatest cricket to watch. Spinner, Max Apatel bowl. You know, his, I think the article recently that spoke a lot about it, just hit the shiny side of the ball and to go straight and off runs, because you're expecting them to turn so much. He would have got, you know, maybe in the last couple of tests with straight balls. So pretty exciting stuff. Stay there.
Ashton Agar there. The Aussies return to the pitch on March the 3rd in the third T20 International against New Zealand, then March 5 and March 7. To round out the series, they do need to win to stay in contention. All three of those games will be played in Wellington. Just before we take a break, we mentioned Beth Mooney. She belted Queensland's highest score in WNCL history, rewriting the record books, 163 of 139 yesterday at Allan Border Field. 16 boundaries. It's the sixth highest individual score in the competition's 25-year history. Queensland made 4 for 368. Along with Beth's 163, Georgia Redmayne also made triple figures. They combined for a partnership of 259. It was the fourth highest partnership in the history of the competition, the largest for Queensland. They got the job done quite comfortably over Western Australia. And David Warner will make his cricketing return this week for New South Wales in a one-day game on Thursday. Last week, he did say it would be months before he would take to the field, but somehow he's made a miraculous recovery. He's back playing, and they'll take on South Australia in Adelaide. Steve Smith remains sidelined with an elbow injury, so hopefully he's not too far away from resuming. It is 7 minutes to 6 o'clock this Tuesday morning. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll go back to New Zealand. The Australian Diamonds are about to take on the Kiwis in the Consolation Cup, plus there's plenty more footy for us to get through before 6 o'clock.
RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
4 minutes to six, I can see Daniel Harford and Adam White out the back getting ready for the Breakfast Club in a few minutes' time. Before I hand over to those two, the Australian Diamonds return to the court after 492 days against New Zealand today. It's very exciting if you are a fan of the national side. It's a new era under Stacey Marinkovic. Paige Hadley, a Diamonds mid-quarter, spoke to Fox Sports yesterday, and she explained how they've been preparing themselves for this Constellation Cup series, considering they've spent the last 2 weeks sitting in their hotel room quarantining.
It's been super intense. I think even leading in from the camp in Sydney into New Zealand, it's been super intense. I guess it's the best of the best here in camp. So we've got a really strong squad. So every training session is built nicely. And I think we were a bit rusty coming out of isolation that first kind of week, but we built nicely going into the first test match on Tuesday.
Any rust there from quarantine? It's something that the Aussie cricketers lamented. They've gone 2-0 down in their series. Is it a concern at all for the Diamonds?
Well, let's hope we don't follow in their shoes. But no, I actually think we've had a really good hit-out. We had some match play during the week. We've built some combinations. And as I said, like, I think everyone's just raring to go. And hopefully we can hit the ground running. You know, we don't want to use it as an excuse. I think the last week has been really good training sessions. And we've got about 4 or 5 under our belt. So, yeah, look, we don't know what's going to happen when you actually get out there and you're in the real world. But, yeah, we're excited to hit the court and see what we can produce together. There's a lot of difference this year. I obviously a new coach, a new squad. We've got 7 debutants in the squad. But same old, you know, Australia versus New Zealand is a massive rivalry and we want to come out with, you know, 4-0 and that constantly.
It is going to be a massive rivalry. The Diamonds do hope to use the absence of spectators to their advantage against the Silver Ferns. Kicks off today. No crowds with the games in Christchurch. All games will be played in Christchurch after the snap lockdown in Auckland. Like the cricket side in Wellington, the girls are in Christchurch. It is a new era. Stacey Marinkovic takes over as head coach. Sherelle McMahon in the assistant coaching role. There was discussions last week about the fact that they won't be appointing one captain for this tour. There'll be a different captain for each of the 4 test matches. And Paige Hadley was asked about what it's like going into a new era of the Australian Diamonds.
Yeah, definitely. I think Stacey's brought her own spin on things. I think some things are very similar and some things have definitely changed. But I think it's just the excitement and the buzz around the whole group as a collective. I think it's probably been the first tour that we've actually had most of the squad in one place. Normally you select just a touring party, which normally includes maybe 12 to 14 athletes. But to have majority of the squad here together, kind of building towards, you know, that Comm Games, that World Cup, it's been a real buzz.
How confident are you that you will win the series? You were talking up 4-0 before. I'm guessing that's the only goal on the agenda.
Yeah, there's obviously a lot of goals in terms of getting people out there, getting experience. I think, you know, even within our starting combinations, there's going to be people that probably have debut within there. So it's about growing the confidence together and building. As we said, we really have our eyes on the Commonwealth Games next year and the World Cup following that. But, yeah, you know, you're an athlete, you're competitive, and, you know, you can see us on the training court against each other. We definitely want to win.
All kicks off today. Australia take on New Zealand. You can watch them on Channel 9. All kicks off Thursday night, Carlton and St Kilda, the pre-season games. As St Kilda assistant coach Brendan Lade is tipping a breakout year for the new number 12 at the Saints, Max King, after his debut season of 22 goals last year.
It's basically his second year of footy coming up at the moment, so there's a lot of expectation on the poor kid, but I'm sure he'll live up to it. He's got a really good relationship with Ruffy, so Ruffy can tell him straight up that's not good enough or, you know, whatever it is.
Hey, get excited, Saints fans. You'll see him running around on Thursday night against the Blues. And get excited, RSN fans, because up next, Daniel Harford and Adam White have got their best show of the week coming up. Jimmy Bartel after 7, Elise Villani, Cam Percy, Jared Lyons, and Shane Van Gisbergen all joining the boys. But right now, you'll hear Johnny Bowden with all the latest news. We'll be back tomorrow from 5:30 at the same place, RSN 927.